Okay, so we're in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 15. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life." Let's pray. Father, we again thank you and bless you for your word. O Lord, stir us up in the Holy Scriptures, in you, O God. Show us the truth that you have made known in Jesus. And Lord, give us understanding. Give us the true gospel. Give us you, O God. O Lord, we worship you and praise you, and we ask now your blessing to be upon us as we open up your word. Lord, touch our hearts with your Spirit. Give us, Lord, teaching and understanding from you. For we worship you and praise you and glorify you and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. So here we come to the Gospel of John, in which I want us to focus on what our Lord Jesus teaches to Nicodemus, in which he says in verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, here Nicodemus comes to Jesus at nighttime, clearly because he wants to hide his coming to Jesus. He is from the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, we know, were in opposition in large part. But there were some amongst the Pharisees who knew that, you know, Jesus was truly of God, and they were not as hostile to him as others. Now, we need to address something as well with this passage, because people read a passage of Scripture, and it's like they have these horse blinders on, where they can't see anything but what they've already understood it to be. And this passage of Scripture is really strongly asserted in the Reformed or Calvinistic faith to say that this goes to show you that God must save a person first before they can even begin to understand the things of the kingdom of God. I mean, it's really quite amazing. It's really quite shocking what they will teach. And we need to address that, because with the speaking of light, with the speaking of God's word, we want to expose the darkness. And we don't want to fall prey to false teaching. I mean, again, I say to you that the Reformed or Calvinistic understanding that says that God actually saves people first so that then they can have faith and be justified is a very serious, serious error. I mean, think about what they're saying there. They're saying that the Holy Spirit does a permanent work of salvation upon a person before they've had faith, before God has justified them. They have received something permanent. Excuse me. They have become born again. They've become regenerate, united with Christ, made alive in Christ. Entirely passive, they were. God just caused it to happen so that they became saved. And they'll say that this passage here, verse 3, proves that. That you cannot even begin to understand anything about the kingdom of God. You cannot see it. You cannot perceive it unless God first has you to be born again. And that's what Jesus is saying. Very clearly, they say. But again, how serious is this doctrine? It's the unjustified doctrine. This person is made alive. This person is saved, born again, and they haven't even been justified by God yet. It's a very serious error. But is that what this is teaching? Is that what this passage is saying? No. Jesus is not saying that you have to be born again before you can even begin to even perceive or understand or see or, you know, understand the things of the kingdom of God. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about realizing the kingdom of God. He's talking about the Jewish hope of one day seeing the kingdom of God. He's not talking about your ability to understand or perceive, to see something like that in that sense. I understand it. I see what you mean. No. He's talking about you realizing the kingdom of God. He's talking about you going into the kingdom of God. And what Jesus wants Nicodemus to understand with all their learning and all their assumptions is he needs to be born again if he's going to have any hope of realizing the Jewish hope of salvation. Now, you know, the Reformed faith, you really need to be aware there's a lot of a spirit of glorifying man. You know, their dark robes, their doctorate symbols on their robes, and there's so much of this, and I really think so much of this person and that person, and they quote them, and they don't really get into the scriptures themselves, but they quote the doctors of the Reformed faith. But it's so embarrassing to see how obvious something can be so incredibly wrong. Is Jesus really teaching you have to be born again, or you can't even begin to understand what I'm saying? Well, let's ask some questions about that, and let's look at the passage. I mean, why would Jesus even be bothering to speak to Nicodemus if Nicodemus can't even begin to understand what he's saying? Why is Jesus even bothering to say anything at all? Because, well, he has to be born again first, right? But also, too, look at this passage. The very first, the verse just before verse 3. Look at verse 2. It says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Right here, it says right there, we know. These Pharisees, these people of Israel, had beheld light. They had beheld truth in Jesus. They were observing the kingdom of God when Jesus was there. It says right there, we know that you are from God, for no one could possibly do the things that you do unless God is with him. And they're not born again. You see, God is able to speak his word to people, and they can hear the truth. Will they be obedient? We talked about that last Sunday, right? We talked about how even though people are dead in their sins, Jesus said an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear, that is, those who are obedient in faith, they will then have life, right? So here we have this teaching, and we need to expose that. We need to expose that as false. They indeed had heard. And if we look just at a few passages of scriptures here, Scripture in John, turn over to John 5, when Jesus is debating with the Pharisees, and he says in verse 33, he says to them, you have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Jesus says, you know, you enemies of mine, you Pharisees, you sent to John, you sent messengers to John the Baptist, and he told you that I was the Christ. You can't say, well, we don't know. You can't say, well, we haven't heard. Look over at John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus is as well dealing with those who were contesting and objecting to him. And he says in verse 37 of John 10, he says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. Jesus is saying, yeah, you know, he's acknowledging the fact that, look, here I am a man. I am God in the flesh. And, you know, it's causing naturally for you to stumble. You're hearing a man tell you these things. But if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do, that they testify, right? And you remember that another occasion, not in the Gospel of John, but I'll just make reference to it, you know, where they were so upset with him. They said, well, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the Satan. They were saying that Jesus casts out demons by the power of Satan himself. And Jesus says, any sin or blasphemy will be forgiven of men, but to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. What's he referring to there? I mean, right, you got the Trinity, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why would it not be forgiven to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? Because he's referring to the fact that they had clearly seen the work of the Holy Spirit through him. And while he again could say, look, I understand if you stumble over my humanity, you understand you stumble over the fact that you're seeing this man who has just been nobody before you, and I'm a son of a carpenter, and I'm declaring to you that I am the very one who spoke to Moses there at the burning bush, that I am the Lord Almighty telling you to believe in me. I could understand where you would stumble over my humanity. But you have seen. You have seen the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is blasphemy for you to so say that is the work of the devil. They had seen. Now turn over in this wonderful example of such a work being demonstrated in the Gospel of John chapter 9. Remember, that whole chapter is dealing with what? Where Jesus heals this man who had been born blind. He had been born blind. And there's this amazing account of how Jesus heals the man. And everyone hears about it because, you know, he had told him to do this thing and it was considered breaking the Sabbath. And there's all this, you know, kerfuffle and all this, you know, trouble that's caused by this. And they're trying to figure out, well, how could this man be healed by a man who tells him to break the Sabbath? And they're having this whole conflict. And they ask the blind man, well, who do you think he is? And he says, well, clearly he must be of God, because no one's ever heard of anyone healing a blind man from birth, healing him. He must clearly be of God, you know. And they say, well, you know, they reject him and they want to cast him out. And Jesus finds the man. Look at towards the very end here of the Gospel of John chapter 9. And he's talking to the man. And Jesus says in verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. They see. And Jesus is saying, you know that I am the Christ. You know. You said it yourself. We see. In fact, right, wasn't it true? They saw that he was the Christ, and they were fearful that the Romans would come and take away their place. And so therefore, out of jealousy, they wanted to destroy him. But the Calvinists will tell you, no, you have to be born again before you can even begin to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus comes to him by night because he knows it's dangerous among his fellow Pharisees to come and to confess these things to Jesus. Nicodemus comes and says, look, teacher, we know, Rabbi, we know that you are from God. So understanding this passage is really important. It's not about perception. It's not about just you have to be born again so that you can then perceive things correctly. Jesus is teaching you and I what is necessary for salvation. And this is so wonderful to rightly understand this. Let it be something written upon our hearts. Jesus says to us that if you want to be saved, if you want to see, in that sense, participate in, to enter into the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. And this is emphasized as we look at the passage here. So come back to John chapter 3. And notice how the conversation goes. Again, we find that the very text itself supports us that this is the right understanding, that Jesus is talking about what's necessary to be saved. Verse 4, Nicodemus says to him in answer, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Again, Nicodemus is showing that he's not a man of faith. He's a natural man. He's a man who not yet understands really how spiritual what God has given to the nation of Israel. And even Jesus rebukes him later on as, are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? And so Jesus has to step down to his level of carnality because he's not thinking as a spiritual wise man. He's asking a foolish question in that respect. He's saying, well, how can a man enter into his mother's womb again and be born? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's beginning to say, look, our natural birth is that which is to be born of water. It's the spiritual birth that makes you to be ready for heaven. Everyone has to exist. You have to be born. That's the natural birth. Because again, Nicodemus is the one who said, you have to enter into your mother's womb again. Jesus is saying, look, yes, that's the natural birth. That's to be born of water. It's not through some sort of baptism or something like that. Whenever a person is baptized, they're not saved. That's not a spiritual birth. You're only baptized because it conveys symbolically what has taken place for you in Christ Jesus. So this doesn't teach that. This is just saying he's acknowledging Nicodemus's argument. Well, how do you enter into the womb again a second time? You must be born of water and the Spirit. The emphasis is upon that. And the Spirit, you must be born. And notice how that carries on here. He says, for that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see the contrast? Flesh and spirit. To be born of water is to be born just of the flesh, to be that which is just carnal. But that which is to be born of the Spirit is spirit. Now this all fits within the context of Jesus talking to this man, Nicodemus. Who was Nicodemus? He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a preeminent man of the people of Israel. If any one of the people of Israel would say, well, I'm a child of God, he certainly would, wouldn't he? Kind of similar to how Paul would argue before he became a Christian. Well, such confidence, Jesus is teaching, is of no value whatsoever. I mean, look at the first sons of Abraham, Ishmael, and then this firstborn son of Isaac was Esau. That didn't mean they were a part of God's covenant, no. It's the one who is by faith. Now, let us open up some more about this. This verse here, verse 3, it also says, born again, right? But do you see that little note there on again? It can also be understood as born from above. And I really do think that's the better translation. Now, please understand, born again is very biblical, for sure. In fact, if we turn over to 1 Peter, if you look over at 1 Peter, he's the only other one that uses the expression born again. And you don't have to turn there if you don't want, but I'll just read you a few verses. In 1 Peter 1, he talks about that in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So also in verse 23 of the same chapter, he says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. So it's John chapter 3 and 1 Peter 1 that have this expression, born again. But the words are not the same. The word in John 3 is different, and it can be translated a lot of different ways. It's kind of a versatile word, but it basically is like from the beginning. It can say again. It can be from the top down. It's kind of an expression that uses in a lot of different ways, but it's also from above. It's the idea of authority in that sense. So Jesus is wanting to convey to Nicodemus, you need to be born from above. You see, again, Nicodemus, your natural descent as a physical descendant of Abraham, according to the flesh, is that just it. It's just of the flesh. But you need to be born from heaven. You need to be born a new birth. And yes, you could say indirectly, it's born again, right? Because if you have this born from above, it's all going to be a subsequent birth for you. But it's not like you had a spiritual birth and then another birth. You see, you're born of water, you're born of the flesh. To be born of the Spirit is to be born from above. So, don't think I'm taking away from the whole favorite term of saying born again. It's very biblical. Peter uses it, and his word is different. His word is really about beget, and there's a prefix at the front which says like again, like Anna. So it has to do very much with born again. But this word is different, and I think it's really emphasizing born from above. And look at the text here in John 3, because it really opens it up. Again, that which is spirit, it's from above as opposed to the flesh. He says here in verse 7, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So again, that conveys this idea that it is from above, that God has done something that is outside of us. It's coming from heaven itself. So the wind blows. You can't see wind, but you can see the traces of it as it blows the leaves across the ground. The trees sway. We can see the effects of wind. We know it's going in a general direction, but it's that sort of movement of the Spirit, so to be from above. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus says, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Again, pointing to what? From above. Jesus is referring to what? He's referring to the testimony of God the Father and himself. Look over at John 5. In John 5, Jesus, he says in verse 31, if I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. And he says here, like we read earlier, you have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. But the testimony which I receive is not from men, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He, that is John the Baptist, was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither seen his, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. So you see, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus that we speak that which we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Jesus has a testimony with God the Father, the very works that he does, and this is a testimony of what? That the birth that you and I need is from above. The testimony is from above. And then he says, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who has, verse 12, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, how in the world could you sort of refer to what Jesus has just been saying here as earthly things? I mean, it's spiritual, isn't it? But it is in one sense earthly because he's had to accommodate to Nicodemus. It's Nicodemus who's asked that very carnal question. How can a man be born when he is old? Enter into his womb, mother's womb a second time. And Jesus has had to, in that sense, to bring things down a notch. He himself has had to make things to be, in that sense, on the level of the earthy. Okay? And it even still, if he's not believing even in that which is he's reducing to an earthly level, how is he going to believe that which is heavenly? So, when Jesus says that we must be born from above, he's talking about the fact that you and I need to have a spiritual birth, and that this is testified by the revelation that God himself gives. God the Father is a witness from heaven, and Jesus himself is bearing that testimony to us, and he is communicating these things to us in the Word of God. Now notice how this is realized. In verse 13 and verse 14, how can you and I have this birth from above? Right? How can we have this? He says here, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus has come down from heaven, right? And he has made it possible for you and I to have this spiritual birth. You and I can be born again. We can be born from above. See, we're all in the midst of sin. We're enslaved to sin. And he asked the question, you know, who has ascended? No one has ascended to heaven. Among all of us, none of us will ascend unto heaven. All of us, according to the flesh, are condemned. God, in his great love and his mercy, has sent his Son into the world, taking upon himself our nature and our form. He has descended. He has come down upon the earth so that then, as a man, the Son of Man, he might ascend. And because he then ascends as the perfect Holy One, you and I then can have this birth from above. This is how God can give to you eternal life. This is how God can give to you to be born again in that sense, to have a new life in Christ through him who has descended and has ascended, so that you can then have this conversion, this newness of life, this birth of heaven, this birth of the Spirit, this birth that is from above. So it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that refers back to Numbers 21, when the people of Israel were rebelling in the wilderness, and they were complaining, and God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they were biting the people, and they were dying. And God told Moses to take a bronze serpent, to lift it up on a standard, and if any man was ever bit by the serpent, that they should look up at the serpent, and they were healed, even though they had been bit by the serpent. Symbolic of the fact that you and I, all of us are sinners, all of us are fallen, all of us are affected by sin, the wages of sin is death. And what's going to happen? How are we going to be saved from this? How can you and I have this birth from above? We're to look up, even as Jesus has lifted up from the earth, symbolic of what? That our salvation comes from heaven. Our new birth is from above, according to the Spirit. So as Christ was lifted up from the earth upon the cross, and he took upon himself our sin, as you and I look to Christ, we look up to Christ, we can find the forgiveness of our sins. You and I can then have a conversion, a new birth, a birth that is from heaven, from above. Again, Nicodemus needs to hear this, because the temptation for Nicodemus is what? To walk according to the flesh, to trust in his own works. He's a Jew among Jews. He's someone who is recognized as a preeminent man. But he needs to see that he's not going to see the kingdom of God. He's not going to enter into the kingdom of God unless he has this birth, this spiritual birth from above. And only Christ can give this to him. Only Jesus, who is from heaven, who descends and then who ascends as a man. And then as that one, like Moses made that serpent in the wilderness to be lifted up on the standard, so Jesus Christ is lifted up from the earth. He's upon the cross. And anyone who looks to him is saved. And that's why it says here in verse 15, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Now again, we can look at a couple different passages of Scripture just to sort of solidify our understanding. This is the right way to understand this. That to be born again is really born from above. We could turn over to James. Look at James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, I'll give you a chance to just turn there and have a look at it. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 17. He says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is what? From above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. You see, it's from above. This is not something that we have done according to the flesh. Look over at James chapter 3, in which you can really see the evidence of those who are truly among God's people. In James 3 and verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above, see, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is sown in peace, the seed whose fruit is righteousness, is sown in peace by those who make peace. So again, that very thing that is the beginning and end for the Christian, this wisdom of God that we have from Christ Jesus, it's not something according to the flesh that we derive from our own selves. it is from above. Look over at Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, again, this whole understanding contrasted with what the confidence of, say, like Nicodemus and those according to the flesh would have. In Galatians 4, when he's asking, you know, those of you who wish to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? In verse 21, notice what he says here. He says in verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. Again, it's the Jerusalem above. She is free. And verse 29, but at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So it is now also. You see, there is a new Jerusalem coming. Don't place your hope and trust upon the Jerusalem that is existing today in Palestine. That's not the Jerusalem that you and I are to be focused on. A new Jerusalem is coming, of which it says in Hebrews that we are of this heavenly Jerusalem, this Zion, Mount Zion. So the Jerusalem above is free. You see, if you're in Christ, not trusting anything according to the flesh, you're trusting in what? A conversion, a birth from above. That is your identity. So when that new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, you will be able to enter through each one of those wonderful, glorious gates, right? The single pearl gates of glorious new Jerusalem coming down. Because why? You are in Christ. He alone is your righteousness. He alone is your salvation. You have been born from above. So, this is a message for us to rightly understand. We need to convey and communicate and take to our hearts. You know, how is it that you and I are going to see the kingdom of God? How are we going to enter into the kingdom of God? It is by a conversion, a new birth. Yes, you could say to it, we're born again because it's another birth that you have. You had your first natural birth, but you need that latter birth. It's a birth from heaven according to the Spirit. Look to Christ. He alone can give that to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He alone will give you the hope of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we ask Your blessing. Lord, bless us with Your word. Teach us Your truth, O God. Deliver us, O Lord, we pray, from the teachings of men that would steal away a right understanding of Your words. Help us, O God. Instruct us and teach us and bless us soundly in the things of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we worship You and praise You, and we ask now Your blessing in His name. Amen.